loving.
Oh, thank you. He's just encouraging me. He's very encouraging. Good job, Mom. That's my son. So good morning, in case we haven't met. I am Wendy Bazat, and I am the co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And every Sunday we say our mission statement together because it is who we are and what we are about. So it's up there for you. Would you all say it with me? Because Mercy Vineyard, as Mercy Vineyard, we are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Pretty soon we're not even going to have to put it up there. Y'all are going to know it so well. Right? Love, grow, go. That's not hard to remember. And it rhymes, so that makes it easier. So we're in the Advent season, and we're celebrating the coming of Christ. And this is also week two of a three-part series on God with us. If you missed last week, you can go online to findmercy.org, and you can listen to Lee's message about the God who is with us and his presence and how he's always with us, because as we walk with him, right, as he's living in us, he's always with us. It's just a matter of tuning into his presence. So if you missed that, you want to check that out. So even the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. So that's what we're talking about. That's what this whole series is about. And we're going to dig into another aspect of God being with us today. One of the things that boosts our confidence the most is knowing that somebody has our back, right? So you know that if you need help, they're there. If you're going through something tough, that person is there for you, right? And even when bad things are said about you, they'll say good things about you. And when you do something stupid, they still have your back. And when we have somebody like that in our lives, that gives us a lot of confidence, doesn't it? You feel like, okay, even if I mess up, this person has got me, right? And it makes you feel almost invincible. And so I'm going to confess something to you. Growing up throughout school, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I got bullied. I don't know why. Probably because I'm small. That probably had something to do with it. I wasn't always the smallest person in my class, which I don't understand why anybody would pick on the small guy. Why is that? Because that, how does that make you feel big? I don't get it. Kathy's knowing what I'm talking about. She knows what I'm talking about. So I don't get that, but for some reason, and a lot of times the girls who bullied me were smaller than me, so weird. But go figure. Anyway, when I was in elementary school, there was one bully in particular. I was in sixth grade, and for some reason she didn't like me. I never figured out why. She just didn't like me. I never said it. I didn't even say anything to her. She would just say horrible things to me at school every day. She would say horrible things about me every day. And she would threaten me almost every day that she's going to beat me up after school. She's going to be waiting for me, and she was going to beat me up. Okay. So every day I would come out of the school kind of like, because I walked home, and I was kind of like hanging out inside the school for a little while because I didn't want to meet her out there. And she took the bus, so I knew if I waited long enough, she'd get on the bus and go, and I'd be good. So I was really getting tired of her threatening me and all the ugly things she said about me. It was getting really old because she never backed it up anyway. And I told my friend Janelle about it. She was kind of short like me, but she had kind of encouraged me. She said, the next time that she threatens to beat you up, just say, okay, I'll meet you out there. Like, call her threat. I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. She said, I'll go with you. Okay. So she did. She threatened to beat me up. I'm like, okay, I'll meet you by the fence after school. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be there. Like, she didn't expect that. And so Janelle said she'd go with me, and she said, even if we get beat up, then this is going to be over, right? She won't bother us anymore. So I go out there, and she was actually standing there waiting, probably because she had to wait there for the bus anyway. And we show up, me and my friend Janelle, and this was back in the day when we had the metal lunch boxes. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm dating myself. But so we go out by the fence, and I was like, okay, I'm here. let's go. Because I've never been in a fight before, so I didn't know how to deal with it. I'm just like, come on, do your worst. And she kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit, and she didn't really know what to do, because really all it was empty threats, right? And so finally she's like, oh, my bus is here, I gotta go. And she said, but I'll be here tomorrow. And my friend Janelle said, no, you won't, because if you come back, I'll be here and I'm gonna whack you with my lunchbox. She had her big metal lunchbox with her. And she was like, the girl was like, okay, I gotta go. And she got out of but she never, ever bothered me again. Go figure. I wouldn't want to be whacked with a metal lunchbox either. But she never bothered me again. And that, knowing that Janelle was on my side, gave me the courage to stand up to that girl. And knowing that she was had my back all the time, I didn't worry anymore, right? She's carrying her metal lunchbox around. We're good, right? So, and I mean, that served me well all through school, just knowing that if you just, you know, you stand up to somebody, you know, if somebody's got your back, it's good. And so God is not only with us, he is on our side. He is for us. So maybe you're thinking, yeah, okay, I know. God with us, God is for us. We get that. But we don't always live like we believe that God is for us, do we? I mean, if you think about the situations that you really need to face head on, but you've avoided doing so because you're afraid of what's going to happen, or think about the times that you've needed healing or financial breakthrough, but you didn't ask God because you're afraid of the answer, or will he not answer, right? Am I the only one who hasn't done that? Like, you know, think of the circumstances that have come your way where you begin to wonder, is this God's anger? Is this his disappointment in me? Is that why I'm going through this right now? And we think things like that, don't we? And we think when we go through difficult circumstances, where is God? He must be mad at me. He's not, you know, we rarely think that he's on my side. No, we start wondering, what did I do wrong? And where did he go, right? And so sometimes we think, I don't believe that it's not that he's not on my side, but sometimes I think maybe he's more on someone else's side than mine, right? That person is experiencing much more favor or success or whatever than I am, and we're doing the same things. Where's God, right? So even David felt like this at times. He felt like God was not for him. Look what he writes in Psalm 13. It says, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? That sounds pretty despairing. But here's the truth that we need to remember. This is what I want you to remember today. God is for me always, in all circumstances, without any exceptions. God is for me always, in all circumstances, without any exceptions. We're going to talk about that, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is the truth. This is your word, and your word is truth. And if we believe that, if we believe that your word is truth, God, then we want to allow it to transform us. So God, let your word come alive in us today. Let your spirit move and speak to our hearts. Speak to us individually, speak to us corporately, God, and change us, we pray. Help us to replace lies with truth today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start in a passage of scripture that may be familiar to you. This is, we're going to look at Romans 8, verses 28 to 32. We're going to read all verses together first, and then we'll break it down. So let's just read it. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? God is for us. He's on our side always. In the same chapter, Romans 8 and verse 1, it tells us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? None of our sickness is a penalty or a judgment from him, from an angry God, right? None of our marital strife is a sign of his anger. If we belong to Christ, he is for us. He's not against us. And when things are good and when things are not so good, he is still for us. So if we were to keep reading in Romans 8, we'd see in verses 35 and 36 that there will be trouble, right? The Bible promises that. It even talks about the Christians that were dying for the sake of the gospel, and that still happens today. Jesus promised that in this world we would have trouble. And the devil can bring sickness, or he can sow seeds of strife in your life. His purpose, as we know, is to destroy you, and make no mistake, that's what he's working to do, right? We also live in a fallen world, and the actions of others can impact us negatively. We become victims to the way people act around us, right? You could have your car stolen, or you could lose your job. These are things that could happen to us, but they don't mean that God is against us, or that he's not on our side, or that he's ignoring us. But we often feel that way, don't we? So how do we know that he is for me always, in all circumstances, without any exceptions? What's the evidence for this? Well, I think it's a lot of it is right here in Romans 8:28 and the verses we just read. Let's look at 28 first. It says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." So whatever the enemy throws at you and whatever his plans are for you, they're thwarted because God causes everything to work for good. Right? Whatever circumstances that come your way as a result of living in a fallen world, God can bring good out of them. Because we know that through challenges and trials and struggles and pain, we grow, don't we? Don't we? I mean, it's through the rough times that we grow. They suck, but we come out of them better than before. And they can deepen our faith. Because it's in those times that we run to the Lord, isn't it? It's those times that we depend more heavily on him. So they deepen our faith. And also, Christ can be exalted through them. Because of what we are able to come through, God gets the glory. Because we can't do it by ourselves, right? So through what our trials, through that, God can be exalted. He doesn't always spare us those things, but he does design good where the enemy designs evil. Remember Joseph, right? He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. I can't think of much worse than that, right? Sold into slavery by his own brothers. And yet, he says in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." So this doesn't only apply when things are done against us. This is true even when we do something stupid. So how many of you, when you do something stupid, you go, "I can't expect God to be on my side," and you're just expecting him to kind of turn the other way, right? I mean, you expect to suffer the consequences for your stupidity, don't you? And many times, sometimes, he allows us to deal with the natural consequences of what we've done. But does that mean he's no longer on our side? We think that, we act like that, but that's not the case. He's still on our side. He's still in our corner. He's still cheering us on. His feelings about us have not changed just because we did something stupid, which is hard to believe. But he can use the situation to benefit us, to grow us, and to change us, and to benefit those around us, and to get glory. Parenting, I think, can teach us a lot about trusting that God is on our side. So if you're a parent, when your child does something foolish, A lot of times you allow them to suffer the natural consequences for their actions, right? I mean, that's, why do you do that? So that they'll learn. Do you do it because you're not for them? No way. You do it because you are for them. Because you're on their side, you allow them to suffer some of those consequences, don't you? It doesn't change the way that you feel about them, though. We know that those experiences will grow them, that they'll benefit from it, they'll become a stronger person. And so we want to protect them from things, but a lot of times we allow them to experience things like, and sometimes we can't protect them, like if they're hurt by a friend, we walk with them through it, don't we? And we help them get through that. And sometimes we make decisions that make no sense to our children. Like when they're little and we let nurses stick them with needles, that makes no sense to our child, right? Or we force them to learn chemistry. We make them go places they don't want to go. We make them work for their money. How could we, right? But when you're a child, think back to when you were a kid and your parents made you do things, or you're going through something and you don't understand why your parents haven't rescued you, but now you know, as a parent, you know, right? It's for their good. And so a lot of times when our children think we just don't understand, or we are not on their side, or we're doing things to be against them, it's actually the opposite is true. And because we're more experienced in life, we can see more clearly, we have a better visual of what the future is from where they are right now, right? It's not that we're not on their side. And we do the same thing when we wonder why God has left us to struggle. You know, we do the same thing when we go through financial difficulty, or we don't understand how a closed door could possibly be the answer to a prayer, right? Sometimes we pray for something and pray for something and pray for something, and then the opposite happens, and we're like, what happened, God? Where are you? And we wonder, just like our kids do, when we do, you know, when we cause them, make them do things they don't want to do. But it's true that He's on our side during those times. He's still on our side. And it's all a matter of trust, knowing that He is on our side and that He is doing what is best for us. The second thing that I believe is evidence for God being on our side is that God is our protector. When Paul asks the question in verse 31, if God is for us, who could ever be against us? I believe that's a rhetorical question. He's not really waiting for an answer. The answer is no one. No one can be against us if God is for us. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have enemies, or that people won't like us, or we won't have bullies, right? Or we won't have people that try to cause us pain. But the God of the universe is for us. We can be confident in who He created us to be, and we can love others as a result. Because we know He's on our side, we can love others. And we talked about this earlier, about how we have an enemy, the devil. The Bible tells us that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is against us, isn't he? And so that question sounds funny. If God be for us, who could be against us? Well, the devil's against us. Yes, but I think that what that means is that no one can be successfully against us, right? They can try. They can throw everything at us, but God has got our back. He's got His metal lunchbox. He's ready to take them down. Just seeing if you're awake. So Psalm 27, 1 through 3, these verses confirm Him as our protector. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." So He's saying, I will be attacked, but I can be confident because the Lord is on my side. God is for me always. in all circumstances with no exceptions. So I believe the biggest piece of evidence of all, though, is in verse 32. And let's read that again. It says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Think about how God gave his own son up. What did he give him up to? The price that he paid for us. That's what God gave. God gave his own son to pay that price. He gave us the greatest gift. He couldn't have given us anything more, right? This is an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God can sacrifice his infinitely precious son, whom he loves more than anything else, of course he'll give us anything and everything else. All things are small compared to the value of God's son, right? If he could do that, nothing would stop him from giving us whatever is good for us. Otherwise, why would he have given his son? I mean, Jesus is the ever-existent, non-created image of the Father. So he's not somebody that God chose on earth to die for our sins, to be the sacrifice for us. He is not merely a prophet or a good man. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is the Son of God who is dearly loved by the Father and very precious to the Father. And one son is all God had, and he sent him. I have three sons, and I understand the love of a parent for a child. And I love all of you very much, but I don't think I would give my son for your life. I'm just saying. If you're a parent, you understand that. I do not want to give up my child for you, but that's precisely what God did. And I couldn't imagine even letting any harm come to my boys, much less give them up to it. Right? We do everything we can to protect our kids. And I would take a bullet for them, and I would do it. I would, if they had to suffer what Jesus suffered, I'd say, no, take me. Right? Every parent would agree with me on that, right? Are you with me on that? So if that's how we feel, and God the Father felt that way about his son, and yet he gave him for me and for you. It's a pretty incredible thought, isn't it? I mean, let that sink in a little bit. God gave his one and only son, delivered him over to be betrayed, mocked, beaten, whipped, spit on, nailed to a cross for me. And for you. And he sent him as this innocent little child and trusted us with his baby. You know, I hardly would hand my baby over to somebody I knew well, much less a stranger. It's amazing. And if he would do that, if God would do that, then any goal that he had could not be stopped. And his goal is for our good. So, God causes everything to work for the good of those who love him. He protects his children. And he gave his own son to reconcile us to him. So, with all that evidence, why do we struggle to believe that God is for us and he's on our side? I mean, often in order for us to fully believe that God is on our side, we have to surrender what we think that looks like. Because what that looks like to us might look different to him. When we're tempted to think, like our children do about us, why are you doing this to me? We have to remind ourselves that his ways are not our ways. And we have to trust in his grace and his mercy and remember the things that he has already done for us. And if he would do that, he would not abandon us now. So we started out in Psalms reading when David was struggling to believe that God was for him. And I want to go back to the Psalms now, and I want to read verses 6 to 7 of chapter 118. David's tone changes a little bit here. He says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. So David says he will not fear. He doesn't say that he won't suffer, but he does say that he won't fear. That the favor of God outweighs the hatred of man or the plans of the enemy. We can be confident. We can walk in confidence knowing that he's on our side, even when we're surrounded by trouble. While I was writing this and thinking about this and praying about this, I kept seeing this picture of a boxing ring. And for some reason, this picture comes to me whenever I hear about God being on my side. And maybe it's just for me, but if it encourages you, yay. But I see this picture of a boxing ring, and like I'm in the ring, I'm in the one corner, you know, getting ready to go out and fight. And God's right there, you know, he's the one rubbing my shoulders and giving me the water. Like, you can do this. We're going to do this. Do what I taught you. You know what I mean? He's like, he's there every step of the way. And when I step into that ring, it's not like he, okay, see you later. He's there the whole time cheering me on. And what's even better about God is he doesn't leave me to fight my fight by myself. But I always see that picture of just, he's in my corner. He's by my side. And we have to trust and believe that, no matter where we are. So if you're in a place right now where you've been wondering if God is truly on your side, or you're struggling with questions about why things are the way they are in your life, I want to encourage you this morning to know that God is on your side. He hasn't left you. He hasn't decided you're not worth fighting for. He gave everything he had to bring you to himself. So he's not giving up. He's not letting you go. And I think that's amazing news, don't you? That he doesn't let us go. He's on your side to guide, direct, and help you, to fight your battles for you, to support you in all your circumstances, to supply all your needs, to deliver you from evil, to carry out the work of grace in you. And because he's on our side, we can put our hope in him. Because he's on our side, we can love those around us because we know he's got our back. So it's okay to be there for people, to give to people, to serve and love people because he's got our back. So even if they don't return it, he's got us, right? And we can trust him to provide everything that we need. And with the confidence that God is for us and committed to working all things for our good, our lives can display the sufficiency of Christ. Our lives can be an example of what that is to walk in the sufficiency of Christ. We can live without fear no matter what is happening around us. God is for you always in every circumstances without any exceptions. So I want to pray and just spend a little time allowing God to minister to us today, because I do believe that there are people here this morning that are struggling with that question. God, why is this happening the way that it is? Where are you? So let's just pray for a minute. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. And Lord, we thank you for what you gave for us so that we could be in relationship with you. You gave everything that you had so that we could know you and be known by you. God, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would come and show us, God, give us each a picture of what that means that you are by our side. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. I feel like there might be someone here who is asking that question, a lot of why questions. You're wondering why God has allowed certain things. certain circumstances to be the way they are in your life. And I believe he wants to encourage you today. He wants you to know that he's got you. That he's got your back. And it's for your good. I just believe he wants to bring encouragement to you this morning.
I was just kind of getting like a picture of like someone was here and you feel like life for you is almost, it's like you feel like a midget playing basketball against the Harlem Globetrotters. Every time you go to try something, you get smacked down. I try to give up this habit, doesn't work. I try to succeed at this, doesn't work. And like, so like, you feel like that's your life. And I feel like God just wants to say, I'm for you, I'm not against you. And he wants to remind you of that today, that regardless of your feelings of everything I try doesn't succeed, I fail at everything I put my hand to, that's not the Lord. And that God doesn't want you to feel like he's against you, and so he wants to encourage you with that today. So,
yeah. And I also feel like somebody here, maybe you're having some, I don't know what the difficulty is. I don't know if it's like financial or marital or whatever, job situation or whatever, but you're having difficulty and you have been wondering if God is, if he's punishing you. Like, is he mad at you, or if he's, and that's why you're struggling right now? And I'll tell you, I believe God is saying he's not punishing you. He is still for you. This is not his judgment on you, okay? This is, but that he is on your side and he's going to go with you through it. So if any of those things apply to you, let's just pray right now, but also I want to encourage you to get prayer. We're going to sing one more song, and I just want to encourage you to get prayer. If any of those relate to you and you want to get personal prayer, but let's just pray right now and allow God to speak. Holy Spirit, we thank you for already talking to us, for showing us things and revealing yourself to us. And God, I ask for those that are have the questions of why, I pray, God, that they would bring those questions to you, God, knowing that you welcome that does not make you angry to hear their questions, but also, God, that they would be reassured of your commitment, your love for them, and your faithfulness to them. God, for those who feel like every time they try something, they just get knocked down, God, I pray that you would encourage and bring peace and hope to them this morning with this knowledge that you are with them. And God, for those who feel like maybe you're punishing them, I pray that you would show them the truth, how much you love them, that you are not judging them, God. You already sent your son to take care of that. But God, I ask that you would show them a way through their circumstances. God, I pray that you give us clarity of who you are and who you are for us. God, we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Will worship team come?